This is fun! The FU Network!
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm Stephen Kirzner. I'm a political satirist, commentator. I generally stir the pot. Over to you, Stephen.
Well, I'm the other Stephen. I'm Stephen Lawtons. I'm a sometimes columnist, a grudging lawyer, an avid Twitterer, and I guess I stir the pot too.
I would love to see a TV series called Grudging Lawyer.
Grudging Lawyer. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, a lawyer who just like really doesn't want to be a lawyer, but keeps getting dragged into cases.
That would be every lawyer.
That would be every lawyer.
And the ones who love being a lawyer, it's actually kind of sad. But that's a whole different show.
When I was young, I thought I would be a lawyer, and then somebody informed me that actually you spend a lot of time looking at paperwork and books and very little being Perry Mason.
Yeah, you know what? I actually hear a little diversion here. I actually started writing a pilot for a TV show that we're going to pitch, myself and someone else, about a lawyer who is just a terrible lawyer. And it's actually based on a real person that I knew when I was practicing, so I won't mention any names. But okay. He was just like this big, disheveled, unorganized mess of a guy who never knew what courtroom he was supposed to be in and what case it was he was working on. And the whole premise is he had two law students who fed him everything that kept him going.
That's like Remington Steele almost.
Yeah, it is. Except
it's the other way, that he's not polished at all.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is a real schlub of a lawyer. Like the guy who really I was actually thinking of. And actually, it was pretty funny, but no one was interested. No one else was there, but real-life lawyers. They want to see glamorous lawyers with real problems.
Well, if you were pitching it in Canada, nobody was interested.
No, there'd be no money in it anyway, so what's the point?
There's no point. Okay, and speaking about television, today was the day that we're recording this, November the 11th, which of course is Remembrance Day here in Canada, when we remember not just our fallen soldiers, but the soldiers that are currently serving. Here in Canada, we have active bases, but of course around the world, and Canadian soldiers, as much as Americans like to make movies that indicate that they single-handedly won every single war, Canadian soldiers have in every conflict been very, very highly regarded by including American generals and American soldiers and so on, because we are just the Canadian military service has always been a very, very professional service, not fueled by jingoism and a desire to become a giant hero, but to do good. And we have a lot to be proud of. When I was growing up, it was fashionable to say that the Canadian military was three guys in a dinghy with a pea shooter. And sure, we were underfunded for a long time, but there's a lot. I mean, we like everything Canadian, we do not celebrate what we've contributed to our own country and to the world anywhere near enough. And so my thank you to everybody who served, not just soldiers, but all the support staff that make it possible for soldiers to do what they do. The people who make the uniform, everybody who makes it possible for a soldier or for soldiers in the past have gone out there and defended our freedoms. I have tremendous respect for them. I'm sure I speak for you, Stephen, when I say that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I was tweeting out earlier today, and I put on my Facebook page as well. I had a great-great uncle by the name of Harry Elwood George, who volunteered in 1914 with the Winnipeg Rifles to go overseas. And, he was at Vimy. He was at Passchendaele. He was at every miserable, terrible battle in World War One, and he was declared dead once. They actually sent a telegram home to his parents saying, we're really sorry that your son's dead. And then he showed up, alive like 2 days later, because he'd been knocked out in a shell crater and staggered back to the lines. And he actually survived World War One. He went in as a private, a bugler, and he wrote home, and I have his letters home, which are really interesting, where he talks about how he got over there and there was absolutely no use for a bugler. So they threw away the bugle, gave him a gun. He said he got one of the famous Ross rifles. He said he threw that away, and he actually picked up an Enfield from the first dead guy he passed and used that. And he actually came out the other end of World War II with two wounds and a bunch of medals and came out a captain. because his entire unit had been massacred every single time. Oh, and goodness. He was like the last survivor. He was like Flashman, except I think kind of a nicer version of Flashman.
My goodness.
Where he was the hero because he was the last guy alive so many times.
Well, my thanks to his memory. That's something else. So this is Remembrance Day, when typically Canadians up to this point and today wear the red poppy, which originated from In Flanders Fields, a poem written about World War I soldiers in World War I. Poppies. No, this is not an American thing. This is a Canadian thing because it is a Canadian poem. And poppies are famous for disappearing. Poppies are famous yes. for, I have bought 6 poppies this year. And I remember going into the supermarket, the people were out front and I bought one in the supermarket, and then coming out, I had to buy another one because it got lost in the supermarket.
Well, I learned something today. I didn't know that apparently Costco sells them in bulk.
I had no idea.
Apparently, you know, you can buy like 500 of them, and that way, you know, it'll last you at least a week.
Yeah, at least a week. There are little tricks apparently to keeping it, but for me, it's a matter of putting the contribution in, and I don't care so much about whether I've got the poppies as much as I've paid for it, and then the money goes to support veterans. Of course, today, this all tied together because Don Cherry, somebody who I think may have been alive in World War I, that's facetious. He was born in, I think, 1934. But he went on Hockey Night in Canada. And for those who don't know who Don Cherry is, I don't even know where to begin. But Don Cherry is kind of a Canadian institution. If you can imagine... taking the Jeff Goldblum movie, The Fly, and instead of mixing a human being with a fly, you mix him with a foghorn. That's an interesting idea. Don Cherry was, of course, a hockey coach or whatever. And he, for years, he's been doing a thing on Hockey Night in Canada, which is sort of like Canada's holy broadcast, where he would come on in outlandish jackets. And he's an older man. And so he was forgiven for a lot of things he said.
Yeah, he's 85, apparently.
Yeah, 80. So he was forgiven for some of the things he said, which were borderline racist.
And it almost seems like it was a bit of a shtick too. Like he was playing up the gruff hoser hockey coach kind of.
And a lot of that stuff was more nationalistic than it was racist.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about how he preferred, you know, good Canadian boys to these Russian players, which is not really racism so much as it's nationalism. And he was, you know, and I'm not justifying it, but this is who he was. And everybody knew him to be this old fashioned, chiseled from granite individual who would just come on during breaks in the hockey game and just say things that were outrageous. He would trend on Twitter every week because he said something outrageous. And people sort of looked at him as the country's, country's semi-drunk uncle at Thanksgiving events, who would sit in the corner and gripe about everything. And the new generation, everything new, everything that had happened since he was about 20 years old was bad. There was a certain tolerance for him. But then he went on a rant. The summation of it is that the message he was giving is that immigrants to this country don't appreciate this country because they're not wearing the poppy. Somehow he has done some kind of census of his own that indicates that it is immigrants who are not wearing the poppy. Whereas I've noticed over the past few years, less and less people who look like, you know, white people, who are wearing the poppy.
Canadians. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fewer and fewer people wearing the poppy. And just an experience I had this past summer on Canada Day for an event, there was a ice cream truck that was giving away free ice cream down at Queen's Park. And there was a lineup of people to get free ice cream. And I pulled my car behind that truck and opened the hatchback. And in there, we were about to shoot some stuff with Ed the Sock, and we were going to shoot some stuff where we gave away prizes for Canadian knowing Canadian trivia. And there was a bunch of stuff, baseball hats, all kinds of hats, various things with Canada on it. Canada, the Maple Leaf, Canada. And the people in line for the truck, the ice cream truck, went crazy. They came over, they wanted the hats, they wanted, like, they were just in love with this stuff. They wanted to wear Canada. And I have to tell you that maybe 5% of those people were white faces and spoke with unaccented English. These were immigrants who, you know, unlike people who were born here, people who had to fight, people who had to fight to get here appreciate this country so much.
Yeah, well, and what they were leaving too. I mean, most, you know, a lot of the people, and you don't have to be a refugee, but a lot of people come from countries that have experienced civil war, or turmoil or real war, and they've come to Canada, where we've been blessed without having had a war on our shores since the War of 1812. We are peaceable, and it's a society that they can't imagine. You know, if they come from Lebanon, or if they come from, you know, Syria, or they come from, you know, even some of the Eastern European countries where conflict has been still raging, sort of, you know, in our peripheral vision, or Southeast Asia, you know, where, you know, there's still all kinds of border skirmishes.
Or they come from the Philippines, where right now there's an authoritarian strongman in charge.
Yeah, who's extrajudicially murdering all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And they come here, and there's, you know, this is the thing, you know, I find about people who are recent, you know, or semi-recent immigrants. I mean, they understand the stuff that the Remembrance Day is meant to commemorate, which is how crappy war is, how it tears up people and families and lives, and it's just awful. So, you know, for Don Cherry to, like you say, his own straw poll, I mean, how he came up with this. I mean, he was talking about, you know, oh God, you come to downtown Toronto and nobody's wearing a poppy, and, you know, in downtown Toronto, it's sort of that code for, well, you know, it's full of immigrants. It's not like going out to good old Belleville, or going up to, to Lindsay, or any, you know, all lovely places. I don't get letters from those people.
And you know what? Also places where there are a lot more brown faces than you ever expect to see.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
There's no place really in Canada. There's no place really in Ontario that I've been to, and nor even out west. When I was out west doing a tour last year, where it was uniformly just various shades of white.
Yeah.
Everywhere there were people, as they call them, people of color. I don't know why that term bothers me, but it just seems demeaning. But people of color, and there wasn't racism against them, you know. And,
no.
But the fact that he would single out immigrants was just the final straw. It was the final straw. Yeah. People were all over Twitter saying, fire Don Cherry, Don Cherry has to go, and so on. And listen, people have said that before on Twitter, and I basically thought, yeah, this will blow over
never
too.
Happened. Never
and you
happened.
Know what? All it does is it brings more viewers into the broadcast for them next week.
The clicks, and it appeals to a certain base that they've
exactly.
got. You know, the redneck flannel shirt guys.
I mean, you know, not the, you don't see Coach's Corner being simulcast on the Punjabi language Hockey Night in Canada broadcast we have here in Canada, because we do have a very high quality official Hockey Night in Canada broadcast that is all done in Punjabi.
Yep.
You won't see him there, but I thought this was nothing. I thought this was, oh, here he goes again, and unfortunately, he's going to get away with it again.
Yeah, and I thought there'd be like a half-hearted apology, and it would just, you know, be part of one more thing in his long history of controversial statements.
Yeah, and we were both wrong. And I was planning on taking
imagine
the
that.
Day off
I think
of
it's
Twitter.
It's never happened. We've never been wrong.
We should mark this day. and I was going to take today off Twitter. I had things to do. But then Leanna came in and said, they fired Don Cherry. I said, they really? And I had to get on Twitter. And that's where, you know, and once I got on, I realized why I wanted to take a day away from it.
yes.
Because today is known as Remembrance Day. It's also known as, somebody said, this will always be remembered as the day that Don Cherry was fired. And I was thinking, you think people are going to go lay wreaths at his restaurants? You know,
very garish, multicolored wreaths made out of clown fabric.
But there was it turned into what seemed to be a debate about notions of free speech and free expression in Canada.
Yep.
And
cancel culture.
And what it showed me was basically, once again, I don't know who to blame. I don't know if I want to blame anybody. But here's the facts. Most people in Canada do not understand what the concept of free expression or freedom of speech actually is, or what their rights are within Canada. We have, through osmosis, we have this, we seem to think we have the same rights as the First Amendment in the United States, where they can pretty much do anything. I mean, their founding documents were founded by white elitist idealists.
And slave owners,
yes, who were slave owners, and reacting to a very different system that they had just escaped from, the royal system as it existed back then in England. And people think we have the same freedom of speech here, that we can say anything or do anything, and that the best way to fight speech that's racist, whatever, is to fight it with shouting them down or giving proper information, which is a lovely dream. And, you know, I like unicorns too. But the fact is that, okay, as law, I mean, you're the lawyer. You know
that's right, I am.
Yeah. Section 1 of the Charter allows our government in Canada to pass laws that limit freedom of expression as long as the limits are, in quotation, reasonable and can be justified in a free and democratic society. In other words, the government is allowed to pass laws that stop toxic expression. However, our freedom of speech really refers to freedom from the government stopping you from speaking. But people tend to think that what it refers to is freedom from anybody saying, no, you can't speak here. No, we don't want to hear you. No, you can't come over to, you can't come to my store and say this. No, they think that freedom of speech is something that is guaranteed to them to be said anywhere. They don't understand that freedom of speech as a concept, especially, you know, in the First Amendment in the U.S. and the free expression we have here in our charter, it applies to limiting the state's rights to stop you from being able to speak what they'll call unpopular things. It does not apply to individual stores, to individual establishments, to people's personal homes, to their cars. You do not have an unfettered right to free speech. And when you go on Sportsnet, which is the network that carries Hockey Night in Canada now, and you are an employee of Sportsnet, and you say something that Sportsnet determines violates their codes of conduct,
or loses their listeners.
or gets people really, really angry. And Sportsnet has absolute right to fire you. And that is not a violation of your freedom of speech, because you never had you had freedom of speech. You never had freedom from consequences.
Well, exactly. And that's just it. I mean, there's a case I always like to quote when people start talking about freedom of speech. And it was a Supreme Court of Canada case, 1993, called the Hague versus Canada. And, you know, the Supreme Court came out with this great little phrase that I use all the time, which is the freedom of expression that's in Section 2B of the Charter prohibits gags. And like you said, if you're a government employee or something the government touches on, but it doesn't compel the distribution of megaphones, which means you can say whatever you like, but there's no obligation to provide you with a platform to get your ideas out there. So you can stand on the street corner, you can believe what you like, you can say whatever you like, but you know, Sportsnet is the platform. Or Twitter is the platform, or Facebook is the platform. Or the newspaper, wherever else, there's nothing that will require them as a third party to give you a forum to express your beliefs, whether they're right, wrong, hateful, or whatever else. You know, it's not, a lot of people get on Twitter and say, well, you know, you've got an obligation to listen to me and engage me. It's like, no, I don't.
You can say
whatever you like, and it's my right to ignore you as well.
And walk away. May he rest in peace, Mr. One of my teachers, Lou Schaefer, back at Old Fisherville Junior High School, used to say in our history class.
Oh, Bobcats. I don't know. Whatever you had.
I don't know. Listen, by the time I was at Fisherville Junior High School, we had no organized sports teams. I didn't even want to take gym. But he would say that your freedom of speech extends to the tip of my nose. And he was right in the sense that you can speak, but I don't have to listen to you. And people have this weird idea nowadays that, and you see it argued on the online all the time. Leanna sees this all the time because she's so plugged in online with her channel. People believing that they have the right to say whatever it is they want, free of consequence, and that the platform they are on or wherever they happen to be is compelled to allow them to say whatever it is they wish to say. And that's simply not true. When you go to, if you get an account on Twitter, you sign a terms of service agreement. And that terms of service agreement limits your free speech. It says that you're allowing that company, Twitter, to determine when you have violated their terms of service and to either suspend or throw you out. Now, they almost never do it. When they do it,
it's usually the wrong person, but yeah.
Yeah, usually. And when you're Don Cherry and you sign a contract with Sportsnet that you are going to be the host of Coach's Corner and so on, you're signing a contract. And in that contract, there is going to be a clause which says that if you violate their codes of conduct, you can be fired. It has nothing to do with his freedom of speech being impeded. This is contract law, for one thing, on a legal point, you know, just on legal points. But also, the man was given a privileged position in this country. Okay? The TV industry has been shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. He was given a privileged position to be able to have a few minutes a week on one of our most popular programs to go out there. Nobody vetted his script. He didn't even have a script. He just knew what he was going to say. He was given the chance to go out there and opine for 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever the hell it was. And very few filters placed on him. He had a privileged position. And with that comes a certain sense of responsibility that he did not demonstrate when he decided that he was going to blame the lack of poppies that he saw on immigrants. Because it's ignorant. And I think possibly it's one of those things that he looked around, saw immigrants didn't have poppies, but he wasn't looking around to see whether the white people had poppies. That wasn't the, you know, when you carry a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And today is a banner day for the rebel, because this is just going to increase their fundraising exponentially by, you know, people who are of various ages. And it's not just old people, sadly. It's not just old, out-of-touch people like people would like to believe. There are a lot of young people, a lot of people in their 20s, a lot of people in their 30s who are bigots and believe that they have a God-given right, their God, which is the only God, a God-given right to say whatever the hell it is they want. And if it offends somebody, too damn bad. And they are the ones that go, and whenever somebody like Don Cherry falls, you know, he's like Canada's equivalent of toppling the statue of Robert E. Lee, in some senses. And there's people who are going to say, you know, like Ezra Levant, who, if the man ever had principles, I don't know when the last time was he ever visited them. He can use that as government, you know, as the liberals are trying to shut down our freedom of speech, and he'll raise more money, and this benefits the bigots, it benefits the right-wing organs, while the liberal little media ventures just sit there fighting amongst each other about nonsense. Yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing, you know, you mentioned Rebel and you mentioned Ezra Levant, and the interesting thing, of course, him, you know, he's been on the pointy end of free speech a couple of times, because, you know, he has been successfully sued and publicly, famously sued for libel, where, you know, he pulled out every trick in the book trying to say, well, I said all this stuff, but I believed it to be true, or I said all this stuff, but I wasn't serious, or no one really takes me seriously as a journalist. I mean, it was just comment. He'd used like every trick in the book to try to justify inflammatory speech, but to avoid the consequences of the speech. I mean, there's the case of the lawyer, Kurram Awan, who, did the whole court case went, and finally, you know, the judge just said, look, you know, you knew what you said, you doubled down, you tripled down, you know, this is not protected speech. There are consequences to it. And so, you know, they're going to be leading the charge about freedom of speech, but he ought to know because he's been given some very expensive lessons by the courts in where the limits are on that freedom of speech. But, you know, don't let facts get in the way of a good fundraising outrage meme.
I suspect that his defense of absolute freedom of speech would, I think he would have a problem if I said, went on the internet and said, oh, by the way, Ezra Levant has a private farm up north of Meaford, and he goes there on the weekends and he buggers goats. I don't think he'd be happy if I was to say that. Or I was to say that he goes up there or that he has an investment in a pizza parlor where they do child porn in the basement. I think he would have a problem with me saying that because that's irresponsible. But him saying whatever I think the case you're quoting, he had said that somebody was a terrorist.
Yeah.
And this individual was not a terrorist or anything like a terrorist.
And a liar and anti-Semite and a whole bunch
It's amazing
of other things,
to me that whenever Ezra Levant falls back on calling somebody an anti-Semite, it just sickens me as a Jew because he ought to know that the tactics he uses against Muslims and immigrants, but specifically Muslims, on that vile outlet of his, The Rebel, is right out of the playbook of Der Stürmer in pre-World War II Germany. Things that helped foment the idea of the Jew as the other. German Jews who went and fought bravely in World War I were suddenly traitors. He knows that all you got to do is take the word Muslim out and put the word Jew in, and it is exactly what was being said about the people that his heritage, and my shared heritage. So for him to sometimes hide behind being Jewish and then go out and spout the kind of hatred that led to the annihilation of so many of his people and my people, as well as gypsies and gays, anyone else that's different. I just want to tell the guy to fuck off. And I'm sorry, Mrs. Lawtons. I know your mother listens.
Oh, we're going to bleep that one.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. Yeah, I'm very sorry. But it makes me very angry when somebody uses their ethnicity when they have been horribly victimized to go and then victimize somebody else. I can't stand it. As far as I'm concerned, Ezra Levant, you're not a Jew because you don't follow any of the tenets of the values of Judaism. So shut up. But anyway,
what the Rebel does is they other people, like you say, you know, they take someone who is Muslim or from the Middle East, and they say those guys are bad. They are not like us. They are other. They are different. And we're going to just like keep attributing to them all these terrible things, that they're terrorists or that they're anti-Semitic or that they're not loyal Canadians. And I think what people got really upset with, and you know, Don Cherry has said he has a long history of saying stupid, offensive stuff. He said misogynistic stuff. He called, just last year, he called the people who believe in climate change the kookaloos. You know, famously in 2010, when he was invited by Rob Ford to put the chain of office around Rob Ford's neck as mayor of Toronto, he said that, you know, I'm wearing pink today for all the pinkos and the left-wing kooks. He said there's, you know, women shouldn't be in the locker rooms. He said all kinds of things. You know, he's talked about, you mentioned before in hockey, you know, he had a real thing about, you know, good, strong Canadians who are raised
good Canadian boys
and not those sissified Europeans who are good skaters, but can't take a hit.
Yeah.
He has said all kinds of things in the past, but it was really, and I thought this one that he said was in some ways not as bad as some of the things he said before, because the things he said before were all pretty terrible. I mean, in the grand spectrum of the things he said, it's right up there. But, you know, like you said, I didn't think it would be the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was the othering of the people. It's like, he says, you know, those people.
Well, we just had an election where Canadians rejected the notion of those people. This is the second election in a row where Canadians across the country, 2/3 of the Canadians who voted basically said, no, we reject this notion that if you come from someplace else, you weren't born here, whatever, that you're any less Canadian than I am. Okay, the old stock Canadian idea has been rejected now twice electorally. It's still a raw wound because the fight was still being fought just a few weeks ago during the election. And so his timing couldn't have been worse. And also, here's the thing that is really, really stupid, is that Don Cherry is by virtue of his star power and the number of years he's been on the air, he's a very expensive personality to have on television.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, he's very costly. I remember a few years ago when a family member of mine was the senior executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, and his goal was that he was going to limit Don Cherry to either 3 or 5 minutes. And he found out very quickly that you don't limit Don Cherry, that even though you're the top, top person who runs that broadcast, no, you're not when it comes to Don Cherry. Don Cherry had a tremendous amount of power, and he was paid a lot of money. Now, back in the days that I was just referring to a few years ago, that was when Rogers bought Hockey Night in Canada from the NHL, bought the rights and stole them out from under CBC, paid an exorbitant amount of money for it, thought that they were going to be able to set whatever rates they wanted for commercials. And what actually happened, and I remember the elation, the glee. My friend George went there to be a host. I have other friends. I won't mention their names because they're still on air there. And it was the only place in Canadian broadcasting that saw a few, there was money flowing everywhere, and that they saw a future, because at the time the thought was the only way that television is going to survive is through live events, live sports, because people want to watch it live as opposed to stuff that's recorded or downloaded or whatever, which can't be tracked and it's hard to monetize. That the future for television was in live programming. So they paid a fortune. Rogers paid a fortune for Hockey Night in Canada. And they went out to the street. They went out to the advertising agencies and said, here's what we're going to charge for commercials. And the advertising agencies, when they got up off the floor from laughing, said, well, you come back to us when you're serious. And Rogers had to drop substantially how much money they were going to charge for commercials, because they discovered, no, companies will not pay anything to be on Hockey Night in Canada. It has to be a reasonable amount of money. So their projections were way off. The guy who led the charge to buy Hockey Night in Canada for a 10-year period to try to put Sportsnet on the map for Rogers, he beat a hasty retreat to Europe, to a job in Europe that got him the hell away from here, because he was not a stupid man and he saw that he was going to be held responsible for the fact that, oops, this is going to lose us a lot of money. And after building up a huge broadcast entity over there at Sportsnet with this excitement, little by little, and then more faster and faster, people were being cut. Jobs were being cut. There was lots of layoffs because it was too expensive. And now you got Don Cherry. Now, if Don Cherry had been fired and Sportsnet had simply said it's because he cost too much, it would go really badly against Sportsnet. Bad PR. I mean, people would still watch the damn hockey game as much. That's like those boycotts people say that they're going to do that no one ever does.
Yep.
But it would have gone badly for them. And they don't need anything else going badly for them. So they waited. I think they just waited for Don Cherry. Like, you know, it's like, here you go, Don. You want some rope? Here's some more rope. Yeah, here's some more rope, Don. Here's some more rope. And they just waited for him to hang himself. And they waited for a time when they could free themselves from this multi-million-dollar annual contract, while at the same time getting good press and being seen as virtuous for doing it, and the blame being laid at Cherry's feet as opposed to at Sportsnet's feet. This is a perfect day for Sportsnet. They've just freed themselves up several million dollars, and they come out looking like a rose as a company that defends diversity and defends immigration, is on the right side of all of that. It's coming up roses because Don Cherry basically, you know, it's don't throw me in the briar patch, Brer Bear. He's the guy that he screwed it up. He gave them the opportunity to pull that trigger and save themselves a lot of money and come out smelling like a rose, while he looks like a, you know, comes up smelling like a clinker.
Yeah, no, and you know, money, you know, sports is big money, mm-hmm. and you know, there's a point where, like you say, you know, some of the on-air talent gets very, very expensive, and you know, you can't afford to lose, you know, any of your sponsors. You can't afford to lose your viewership. I mean, and Don Cherry clearly had a big following. You know, some of them loved what he said. Some of them tolerated what he said. Some of them tuned in just to see what he was going to say.
Yep.
You know, he was
the Howard Stern effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But there, like you say, there's a point where you just go, you know what? Like you say, costing us way too much money. His shtick is getting really old, and it's really starting to be a clinker now in this age where people are, certainly people are more sensitive to these things right now, but I don't think it's, you know, oversensitivity. I think it's people are now have a new sensibility more than being oversensitive. They're going like, bigoted grandpa's not as funny as he used to be around the Thanksgiving table. And, you know, someone's going to call him on it. And maybe the corporate structure is saying, okay, well, let's just wait to see if he crosses the line, and it gives us an opportunity to free up a whole pile of money from our budget, and ease him out easily.
I think what happened today saved a lot of jobs at Sportsnet. There's a lot of people who might be breathing a little easier today. Whether they be producers or, you know, line people or on-air broadcasters, might be breathing a little easier today because Don Cherry finally slit his own damned throat. And as a result, the balance sheets are different now at Sportsnet. But this is not an issue of free speech. This is not an issue of cancel culture.
No.
This is an issue of the guy had a platform. He was given a tremendous amount of trust to go out there and, okay, Don, you're going to go right up to the line. Sometimes you're going to stand on the line, but don't go over the line.
Yeah.
And he, no one wrote this script for him. He is completely responsible for whatever came out of his mouth. He said something that upset. I mean, Sportsnet was besieged with calls, apparently thousands of calls.
Apparently, the CRTC has finally said, like, stop calling us. We have taken all of the complaints we could possibly take on this. We're not taking any more complaints.
CRTC and the Broadcast Standards Council. Broadcast Standards Council.
I think it's Broadcast Standards. Yeah. They said, like, no, stop calling us. We know there's a problem, and it's not helping with, you know.
Yeah, this is a record number of complaints.
We get it. It's a problem.
A record number of complaints of the Broadcast Standards Council. I don't know how many went to the CRTC, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a record amount there too. But the Broadcast Standards Council, as you said,
they were like, please, we
understand, we get it. Nothing you're going to send us is going to have any extra impact. We have more than we can handle. We know the problem. Yeah. So,
But the interesting thing is they had a chance, and Don Cherry had a chance, and if you believe the narrative, and who knows what's really going on behind closed doors, but according to Don Cherry's own interview, he gave one to Joe Warmington of the Toronto Sun today, this afternoon, where he said, basically, I wouldn't take back what I said. You know, it sounds like they gave him the opportunity to apologize, to walk it back. You know, you saw that Ron McLean walked it back and said, I didn't, you know, first he says, well, I didn't really hear it. And then, you know, I should have stopped it and I apologize and it's wrong. And it was, and Sportsnet themselves, they came out first with their apology saying this is unacceptable and all the rest. And Don Cherry goes to Joe Warmington and said, I won't take it back. So it sounds like he was given the opportunity to apologize. You know, they go to him, they go, look, you know, you're 85 years old. You know, I don't know how much longer we're going to pay you because, you know, you're 85 years old. You're going to retire or worse sometime soon. So, you know,
expire.
And you'll be off our balance sheet one way or the other. But, you know, if you just apologize, maybe this can just go away. Lesson learned. But it sounds like, according to the interview with Joe Warmington, he wouldn't apologize. He said, "Nope, I stand what I said. You know, those other people, they are, you know, they're the problem. I'm, you know, I support the troops." And, you know, and you know,
he back to that whole support the troops
and
thing.
He dressed it up in his interview with
Of course, he Warmington wrapped himself saying, in the flag.
And says, "You know, I'm not going to apologize for telling people to wear a poppy." And
that's move the goalposts.
That's not really what this is about. It's about
that
you,
wasn't it at all.
You saying the problem is other people, and you pointed out specifically that it was immigrants. And you know, and you know, and a little bit of education here. You know, you got to point out that in World War One, the British Commonwealth or the British Empire, there was something like 1 million troops that came out of India alone, and those people weren't white and Christian. Those people were Hindu and Muslim, and you know,
loyal subjects to the crown nonetheless in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, and they fought alongside our troops, and they lost lives. There was one of the first Victoria Crosses was given out in World War One to an Indian soldier. It's you know, they went through the same stuff that Canadians and Australians and all the white people from the British Empire did, and they sacrificed just as much. And those are their children are here now as immigrants. They're the ones who he's pointing out, saying, you know, you don't understand what it is to be Canadian. You don't understand Remembrance Day and our traditions, and you know, you should be wearing a goddamn poppy. It's like, you know what? A lot of those people, their grandfathers served in the British Army as well, fighting the same war that we did. So, as someone said, I think it was our Minister of National Defense, or our former Minister of National Defense, probably our future one as well, once Trudeau produces a cabinet, said, you know, this may have been a teachable moment where, you know, assuming you can teach Don Jerry anything, saying, you know, the people you're pointing at, they have the same war experience that we do. They understand what the poppy means, and chances are they're wearing one for the right reasons as well.
Yeah, it's remarkably uninformed. And, you know, on one hand, I'm not surprised that Don Cherry would go to Joe Warmington to make his statement, because he knows he's going to get a slavishly supportive answer.
Sympathetic ear.
Yes, though I'm really surprised that I didn't realize Joe Warmington had that they'd put the chains on his ankles and managed to pull him out from being Andrew Scheer's ass for 6 weeks. I didn't know he'd had the chance to take a shower and get that lube off, the full body lube off of him.
There's an image I'm going to be carrying around for a while.
Yeah, it was like anytime anybody during the election had their head up Andrew Scheer's ass, they were like, "Hey, I can see Joe Warmington's feet."
The curious thing about Warmington's column, he goes through this entire interview with Don Cherry, never once is quoted what Cherry said. You never see the offending words in the column, just the defense. And you know, as a good journalist, you say, like, here's what he said and here's what his response is. There's no here's what he said. It's just like, oh, he's been wronged, and he's being pilloried, and his free speech is being trampled on because he won't apologize, and he's unbeaten and unbent for having
Unbowed, you know, proud and unbowed, and you know, bound for the retirement home, because you know what, there's really no, he's toxic at this point. He's kryptonite. Nobody other than the rebel is going to give him any kind of media platform, and the rebel cannot afford to pay Don Cherry what Don Cherry's going to ask for that. And so Don Cherry, he's going where he belongs. Something that people remember, I think they should just stand him in a museum somewhere with a plaque. These are attitudes that used to be acceptable at one point in Canada. And it's almost like a growth chart. His firing is almost like when parents mark on the doorway as how kids are growing. His firing is a mark on the growth chart of Canada as far as how far we've come from where we were with the notion of, real Canadians are white Europeans to no. Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian. It doesn't matter whether they're born here or they adopted citizenship here. There are adopted Canadians, you know, that became citizens. This is a growth chart mark for the evolution of Canada, and another mark of our diversion from the values espoused in the United States very loudly.
And I'm going to say one nice thing about Don Cherry, and I really do believe that he loves our troops, that he is, you know, he's a big supporter of our military. He's been in Afghanistan entertaining the troops and talking to them and doing tours, and he has done all that kind of work. And I think, you know, he genuinely, I mean, he never served in the military himself and all the rest, but he has supported the troops. He's raised money for them and all the rest. All that's good work. The thing is, it doesn't really weigh against the
ignorance,
the bigger issues that we're having here. Like you can be a great supporter of our troops and still be, you know, a bit of Neanderthal when it comes to all kinds of other social issues. And no one is saying, look, like, you know, you're a 100% terrible person. You just have some really, really old ideas that are unfortunate. And, you've got a platform to spread them.
But there are rules and there are limits.
Absolutely.
Nobody has unfettered free speech. You can discover that if you get drunk in a bar and go over to somebody bigger than you and say something you shouldn't. That's where you'll discover you do not have unfettered free speech. They're not required to stand there and simply listen to it and not react to it. And quite frankly, today was an example of free speech in the sense that the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council heard the free speech of thousands of Canadians who said, we don't accept this. And you know what? Their free speech counts too. Their freedom of expression counts too. Don Cherry signed a contract. He has to work within codes of conduct. When we go online, we sign agreements for user agreements, which says that the platform that we're using, which is basically like walking into an apartment, a department store or something, they have rights. You've given away, freely given away your rights to just say whatever the hell you want when you sign up for Facebook or for Netflix or Facebook or for Twitter or for any of those services, Instagram, anything. You sign terms of service, and the terms of service say that they can limit what you're able to say. The idea that we have this unfettered free speech, which is something we get trickling in. It's osmosis from the United States, where it isn't even true there, to be honest with you. But this idea
broader there.
Yeah, but people keep holding up this idea of freedom of speech as the bulwark of democracy. And in Canada, we limit that speech we have the right to limit that speech to speech that is not dangerous to society. And you know what? There's a concern, should always be a concern, when the government is the one that gets to decide what speech should be limited and shouldn't be. But so far, I haven't seen any overreach.
No, and there's this thing called Popper's paradox. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. Karl Popper, a philosopher in the first half of the 20th century, who lived through the Nazi period, and he said, the paradox of free speech is that if you give unfettered free speech to certain elements, they will use that free speech to take away the freedom of speech of everybody else. So, he's obviously talking about the rise of the Nazis and how, the democracy is saying, well, it's a democracy if people believe that. And, if Hitler wants to speak on the street corners, I guess we can't limit his free speech to that. And Popper finally saying, this is crazy because the very people you're giving this to don't value it because they're going to take it away from you the first moment they get the opportunity. So that's the paradox of free speech. And like I say, and Canadians tend to be a little more conservative when it comes to our limits on freedom of expression. And I say freedom of speech doesn't even exist in the charter. Like, as you pointed out right at the beginning, it's freedom of expression. But it's being very Canadian. It has there's a responsibility to it. There's reasonable limits to it. It's not, the United States, it's one of the reasons that Canadian comedy sucks so much, is that you can't test the boundaries. You can't call people things. You can't do the level of parody that they do in the United States because that's covered by the First Amendment. And it's a very expansive basket that allows you to do all kinds of things.
One of the only things that I support the Stephen Harper government having done was he passed the first laws in Canada protecting parody, satire, and lampoon.
Yeah.
You couldn't, and until that was passed, you couldn't really legally publish a version of Mad Magazine. in Canada. Right. There was satire was not protected speech. But of course, that doesn't protect you from having somebody say, take you to court, and you can use this as a defense, but they often have more money. Yeah. But you do have a defense. You do have a defense in that this is satire and it's lampoon. But in the States, many of them know don't even bother suing because of the expansiveness, as you said, of their First Amendment. But we don't have that here. I'm fine with that. Don Cherry did not have his free speech rights eroded.
The government wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form in getting him yanked. This wasn't Trudeau behind the scenes, saying, we got to get this guy. It's like, it was a decision of the corporation who was spurred on, as you said, by the free speech of its subscribers, because a lot of people were saying, you know what, I'm going to cancel my Rogers subscription to Sportsnet, or the sponsors who are saying, I don't want my product associated with Coach's Corner as long as he's saying this kind of stuff, because I'm getting letters from my people, from my buyers expressing their free speech, saying they're not going to buy my product. So, it's an ecosystem that has a lot of moving
parts. In this case, it worked.
Yeah.
And the idea that you have free speech and that comes free of consequences is juvenile. It's a juvenile, puerile understanding of what the concept means. Because every freedom you have comes with an attendant responsibility. And people focus on what they're free to do. They don't focus on the responsibilities that come with those freedoms. And this is, as much as people are going to want to say that he had his free speech taken away, no, he didn't. He was fired for breaking the rules of his employer and for putting his employer in a untenable position that could have hurt the business very substantially. Yep. That's all it comes down to. This is not about limiting his free speech. Because you know what? He can go out on the street corner right now and he can say the very same things and he will not be arrested.
Yep. He can have a podcast just like you and me.
Yeah. And he will not, and the CRTC does not apply online. He could, he could go and criticize immigrants all he wants on a podcast. His freedom of speech has not been ended. He simply cannot use that platform of Sportsnet anymore because they said, no, we consider this unacceptable. You are an employee and you broke the rules of employment. So goodbye.
As the Supreme Court said, he's lost his megaphone.
Yeah. And to hell with him. And I think this is a good day. I think this is another example of how much we've grown as a society that we're saying, you know what? No. This notion of open bigotry and so on, and there's still some covert racism that goes on all the time that people of color are well aware of, that people who have white skin tones or are not people of color, we're not even aware of it. I mean, it's just like somebody who doesn't look Semitic would not be aware of the subtle indications that anti-Semitism is being employed in a situation, because why would you have those antlers up, or antlers, those antennae up, why would you have that awareness? There's still problems, but as a whole, Canada is moving towards, we're firmly rejecting the notion that you can just go on and say bullshit like that about immigrants and try to foment hatred. And yeah, it's just going to be a red. I mean, I can imagine that the stock ticker that's going across the mind of Ezra Levant right now as to how much more money he's going to be getting, because he can now claim again, because let's face it, it's people like Ezra Levant who are claiming that white people's rights are under attack and under siege and they're losing rights and blah, 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 all this other stuff, when in fact, all it means is that everybody, that other people are getting the same exact rights that they had, and if you're white and you're supreme because you're white, you shouldn't be afraid of competition from people who aren't white. I guess obviously you don't really believe you're supreme, but he's going to use it for that fundraising means. And so on one hand we get rid of Don Cherry, and on the other hand, we keep Ezra Levant well fed. And as for Ron McLean, I was initially really pissed off because I thought he just sat there like a stooge.
Yeah.
you know, and he's actually, an enabler.
His head a little bit, which might have, it might have just been like his you know, he's been listening to Don Cherry for so long. I'm sure he tunes him out.
I'm sure he
bobs his head to pretend, you know, like we all do in board meetings where you sit there and you bob your head pretending.
Just to indicate you're still awake.
Yeah, exactly.
I am sure that he tuned him out, you know, like my late grandfather. When he didn't want to hear my grandmother yelling anymore, he used to just turn off his hearing aid. I was initially pissed off, and then I realized that he could have been getting people talking to him in his earpiece. He could have been tuning out, and because he knows, just when Don Cherry starts talking, just let him go. My job is simply to say, "That's right, Don." Like the old SCTV sketch, yep. You know, text mm-hmm. Edna Boyle. Yeah. That's right, Edna. That was his job, and he also may have been totally surprised and felt like he was hit by a train, because sometimes we've all found ourselves in situations where something is said that
just
it takes
God
us
smacked. It's like, wait a second, did he say that?
Did he say that? Yeah, that in the time it takes us to process whether we actually heard what we thought we heard, yeah. The person has moved away and the conversation has changed. And the moment is lost, and it's also possible that he was distracted by something else that was going on with the production. There's all kinds of reasons. If you've ever been on live TV, there's so much going on around you. And when you've got this man droning in your ear, has been droning in your ears for years. Okay. And I don't believe that that Ron McLean is a bigot or that he holds any truck or trade with those kind of anti-immigrant sentiments. So his apology, I believe that it's completely sincere.
Yeah.
Just as I believed that Justin Trudeau's apology was sincere.
Yeah.
And it's funny the number of people online who were saying, if you defended Justin Trudeau's blackface, then you've got no business criticizing Don Cherry. And it's like, you know what? Nobody was really defending Justin Trudeau's blackface, including Justin Trudeau.
Including
Justin Trudeau, though, as one tweeter said, okay, you're talking about the difference between what somebody did decades ago as a high schooler and what somebody did a day ago as his, in his job.
Yeah, and refuses to apologize.
And doesn't and one apologized and one didn't. So there's zero comparison here, but people just hate Trudeau. They will find every excuse they can. If Justin Trudeau didn't exist, then the Wexiters and all these crazy people who call themselves conservative, but in fact are just antagonists, they're not political conservatives at all. They would have to invent Justin Trudeau if he didn't exist.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and the Wexiters, you know, who are famous for their rallies and all the rest. I mean, number one, they're trying to separate from Canada, so you know they're traitors to Canada to begin with. But they're, you know, they're actually, you know, if you're mad about not wearing the poppy and Justin Trudeau. But then they've got their flag up, you know, they've got the Canadian flag hung upside down on the podium on a lot of their meetings. Like,
yeah.
You're going to lecture me about being patriotic now and you're the guy with the flag upside down and trying to create the Grand Republic of Albertistan?
I think back to when Quebec was threatening to, like, when there was a real threat to separate when they had their referendum. What is it, 20 odd years now? More than that. And the joke was, the day after they voted to separate from Canada, they applied to Canada for foreign aid. that would be the same thing with, there is no province in this country that is capable of standing independently as a nation. I don't care where you derive your wealth from. It's not possible. So they're being sold a bill of goods. What else is new? But I'm kind of proud of today in Canada, and I'm proud that the Don Cherry firing happened on Remembrance Day, because those soldiers who went out there and who go out there now, this is a tribute to them, because they're fighting for a society where intolerance is not tolerated. So the firing of Don Cherry on Remembrance Day is a tribute to the sacrifices made by our Canadian forces to create a society that is inclusive, like the one that we have, where people belong. You know, if you're a Canadian, you're a Canadian. And that's why the convergence of them, you know, happening on the same day, I think that it's meaningful. I think it'll be forgotten, but for the moment, it is meaningful, that it is a meaningful tribute to the sacrifices of our veterans that that today a company determined that somebody spreading intolerance and divisiveness is not tolerated in modern Canada. And lots of people wrote in letters, more than probably have the Broadcast Standards Council has ever received, saying this is unacceptable. So as far as I'm concerned, that is a tribute to what the sacrifices were of those soldiers, the country they were trying to sacrifice for. And, you know, we're here. We're building on a road that is going towards a better Canada. And thank you to the soldiers who allowed us to get here.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We said we were going to talk about religion and politics this week, and then this whole Don Cherry thing happened. But we will talk next week about religion and politics, the differences between religion and politics in Canada and the United States, because that's one of the areas that is remarkably stark differences. Would you say, Stephen?
Yeah, and why Canadians are generally suspicious of people who wear their religion on their sleeve up here.
Yeah.
Unlike the United States, where, you know, unless you're film going into your church with your own personal Bible under your arm, then you're looked on as with suspicion in the United States. Quite the opposite.
Yes, but there's a lot to talk about there, because as it comes up, people question.
But the church isn't going anywhere. It'll still be.
The church isn't going anywhere, and the discussion about.
He's going somewhere, but the church isn't.
Yeah, the discussion about Andrew Scheer and what role his religious values played in his defeat, that discussion's still going on, and that will be happening next week on Stephen and Stephen. And I want to thank everybody, as I'm sure I speak for Stephen Lawton's as well, because we did this podcast largely for a long time just because we like to talk to each other. And then we took a break for a few years. We got busy. We brought it back here for FU Politics, and the embrace that we've got from you listeners and the really, really nice comments has been really, really encouraging. And
yeah,
we really
absolutely
appreciate it.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners, and we really appreciate it. It is great. And, you know, and if you have ideas or questions or anything, then, you know, absolutely, you know, reach out to us on Twitter, and you know, give us ideas what you want to hear from us.
We're
more than happy. We have no ideas ourselves. Please give us ideas.
And you are at Stephen Lawton's on Twitter, which is spelled LAUTENS.
That's
and
right.
And Stephen is the PH version.
It's the PH version.
And I'm at Stephen J. Kersner. I'm with the V on Twitter. And I really do need to get on actually using that. And I want to, if you guys enjoy this program, we've been talking in this program about the funding that Rebel gets from people who want to take us back several generations and perhaps several rungs on the evolutionary scale as Canadians. There's a lot of money on the right that is funding very intolerant attitudes, which are toxic to building a positive society here in Canada. And there is no moderate center left equivalent. So we have to build this for ourselves. And the FU network, FU stands for many things. It stands for an attitude, but it also stands for us. And that's what this network is. It's for us. It's for all of us. It's for people who like to hear conversations without heavy jargon and pundits and talking heads from parties and things that are just, you know, you can't stand it anymore. It's topics that people, they use language that is exclusionary to the average person. They talk about topics which are really exciting to the political classes and the media classes, but which the average person is like, eh. Or they talk about it in ways that the average person is just, they don't feel part of the conversation. They feel talked down to. Our goal here is to talk with you as opposed to at you. So if you support this, please go to patreon.com. That's Patreon is patreon.com. Patreon.com/FU Network TV. You can subscribe for, it starts at $1 a month. And it's been building. It's not building to what my friend at Canada Land has, which is five figures a month. We're nowhere near there, but it's building. Please help us out because we have to be our own power base. You that's listening and us that's building this, we need to be to establish our own power base so that we don't get overwhelmed by the dark money from people who want to create a kind of Canada and foment attitudes that if you're listening to us, I can guarantee you, you don't want to be dominating in the media or anywhere else. So you can do that. Or if you want to give us a one-time boost, you can do it at PayPal, funetworktv@gmail.com. And Stephen, thank you again.
Hey, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking again next week.
Yes, and I am looking forward to talking about religion and politics next week because it is still a hot topic and there's a lot that both of us would like to discuss. So, and if you guys have any comments that you'd like us to, as Stephen said, if you'd like, if you have questions or comments about religion and politics here in Canada or how it compares to the U.S. and you'd like to have those expressed or you have questions about it, you'd like to see us address, you've got our Twitter addresses. Please do contact us at Stephen J. Kersner, Stephen with a V, and at Stephen Lautens, Stephen with the PH, LAUTENS. And thank you, Stephen.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Okay, and thank you for listening on FU Politics here on FUN, the FU Network.
This is FUN, the FU Network.